afternoon, we are running live again from Heritage Baptist Activity Center. And I'm so glad that you're able to be with me again today. We have been studying the book of Haggai for the past 4 weeks. And today we'll be looking at the final portion of the book. There have been instances in history where a monarch has given his ring to a messenger on a particularly vital errand in order to protect the runner and help speed his passage. There is something particularly personal about a ring, as we will see in our text today. So let us immediately proceed to look at the text now, which is taken from Haggai chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. Haggai chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. And I shall read it for you. Haggai chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. Verse 20. And again the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. Let us look up to the Lord in prayer. Almighty Father, God of our salvation, we have no help but you. You only can save and succor us, for we are your children. Uphold us by your almighty Spirit. Cleanse us from every secret sin and willful transgression. Be gracious unto us according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Grant us peace and grant us again learning. Through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The owner of a photographic studio tells the story of a college boy who came in with a framed picture of his girlfriend. He wanted the picture duplicated. In removing the photograph from the frame, the studio owner noticed the inscription on the back written by the girlfriend. My dearest Tommy, I love you with all my heart. I love you more and more each day. I will love you forever and ever. I'm yours for all eternity. It was signed Diane and contained a P.S. If we should ever break up, I want this picture back. The girlfriend wrote on the back of the photograph a message concerning the future. It is not always in our best interest to know the future. A frog called a psychic hotline for frogs. The phone psychic told the frog that he was about to meet a beautiful young woman who would want to know all she could about him. The frog was excited to hear this news and asked the psychic, "When will I meet this beautiful woman?" The psychic answered, "You will meet her next week." "And where will we meet?" the frog probed. The psychic hesitated and then told the frog, "You will meet this woman in her biology class." It certainly was a message concerning the future. The book of Haggai consisted of four messages. There were four messages he preached recorded in his book. For the past several weeks, we have seen Haggai's first three messages. We saw his first message on Sunday, October 11th and Sunday, October 18th. A word of rebuke, part 1. and a word of rebuke, part 2. We saw his second message on Sunday, October 25th, a word of encouragement. We saw his third message on Sunday, November the 1st, a word of blessing. Now, Haggai's fourth message was a message concerning the future. A message concerning the future. Haggai preached his fourth message on the same day that he preached his third one, chapter 2, verse 20. The day was the 24th day of the month of Kislev, that is December 18th, 520 BC. It was a private message for Zerubbabel. Verse 21 reads, "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying." So what was the message about? Roman numeral 1. Overthrow of the Gentile thrones. Overthrow of the Gentile thrones. This is in Haggai chapter 2, verses 20 to 22. Looking into the future, Haggai again predicted the cosmic and seismic disturbances that would precede the millennial kingdom. See again, chapter 2, verse 6. This is again the tribulation period. Haggai also predicted the destruction of the quote and unquote, the kingdoms of the heathen. Chapter 2, verse 22. See again, chapter 2, verse 7. And Zechariah, chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. The kingdoms of the heathen refer to the Gentile kingdoms. The Messiah will return and overthrow their governments and armies, and in confusion, they will fight each other. Here is a diagram to clarify the end times. What Haggai chapter 2, verse 21 focuses on is the tribulation period. What Haggai chapter 2, verse 22 focuses on is the return of Christ with church-age believers to earth to destroy the Antichrist and the armies of the world. The Lord is going to shake the heavens and the earth and overturn kingdoms. The overturning of kingdoms has happened many times in the course of human history. In our day, we have seen the crumbling of communism, the warring factions in what was Yugoslavia, and changes in the map in many areas. Behind it all, we need to see that it is the Lord of history who is effecting these changes in ways which we may not understand, but can only watch. But the tribulation period is going to be far, far worse. Who is not fearful of the future for them and their children? What will the world be like when they grow up? Well, Zerubbabel is fearful. So the Lord encouraged him. This brings us to Roman numeral 2, restoration of the Davidic throne. Restoration of the Davidic throne. Not only do we have the overthrow of the Gentile thrones, we have the restoration of the Davidic throne. This is in Haggai chapter 2, verse 23, which reads, "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts." Haggai spoke of Zerubbabel as the representative of the dynastic line. God had taken away the kingship from Jehoiakim, Zerubbabel's grandfather. And when describing this event, Jeremiah used the concept of removing a signet ring in Jeremiah chapter 22, verses 24 to 30. A signet ring was a sign of royal authority. The Lord encouraged Zerubbabel not to be fearful of the future by likening him to a signet ring. Verse 23. Zerubbabel's being likened to a signet ring was evidence that God still had future plans for the Davidic throne. In fact, Zerubbabel's successful rule was evidence that God still had future plans for the Davidic throne. In the future millennial kingdom, in that day, in verse 23, the Davidic throne will be reestablished when Jesus the Messiah sits enthroned in Jerusalem. God did not promise that Zerubbabel will reign on that throne. This is clear, since the verse does not say that God would give Zerubbabel the signet ring. At the beginning of the millennium, God will resurrect all of the Old Testament saints so that they can enjoy the blessings of the kingdom. On that day, Zerubbabel will rise up from the dead and he will enter into the kingdom. God has chosen Zerubbabel's future presence to serve as a reminder to everyone that God will have kept all of his promises to David. God's personal reminder to Zerubbabel of his coming kingdom would have encouraged Zerubbabel to desire to continue to do God's will. I believe Zerubbabel was likely greatly encouraged with Haggai's personal message. His role in the coming kingdom would have helped him be even more committed to continuing to serve God. If that is the case, how should God's revelation about the future encourage us to do His will now? God's promises regarding the future should motivate us to be active in doing His will, because we know God's work through us will last forever and will be our opportunity to glorify Him in eternity. Overthrow of the Gentile thrones and restoration of the Davidic throne. These are the two portions of Haggai's fourth message, which was a message concerning the future. Zerubbabel being likened to a signet ring was evidence that God still had future plans for the Davidic throne. A signet ring was a sign of royal authority, but a king also used its seal to make official his edicts. Now, every believer is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, "After that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." As the Holy Spirit seals every believer, so the signet ring's impression in wax portrays this impression by the Spirit upon the believer. We have no right to expect newborn babes in Christ to have enormous certainty and complete assurance, but we do expect to see the seal. This seal is a seal of attestation and authenticity, like the impression made in wax by a signet ring. It is the kind of seal that kings of old would fix to their documents and letters to authenticate them. It is God's mark of ownership impressed upon the believer. In every true conversion, the Holy Spirit will place His authenticating seal upon His own work. Did you ever have any certainty that you were converted? Did you at any time feel that you were forgiven and that you were a new person? Here is an account, probably you have heard this, that has to do with this wonderful hymn, Blessed Assurance. This account was told by the famous musician and the great organist Sankey. I'm just going to read it out. Now, this account was related to Sankey by a man who attended his meeting. And this was the account. During the recent war in the Transvaal, said a gentleman at my meeting in Exeter Hall, London, in 1900, when the soldiers going to the front were passing another body of soldiers whom they recognized, their greetings used to be, 494, boys, 494. And the salutes would invariably be answered with, 6 further on, boys, 6 further on. Did you get it? Let me explain. In sacred songs and solos, a number of copies of the small edition of which have been sent to the front. Number 494 was God be with you until we meet again. And 6 further on than 494, or number 500, was Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Now you got it. When those soldiers were fighting, they encouraged one another by saying, 494, 494, boys. And the rest would salute, 6 further on, 6 further on. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Even in death, Jesus is. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. The soldiers had this blessed assurance, even in death. What about you? Do you have this assurance? Heads bowed and nobody looking around, nobody moving around. I would like to encourage you to spend a few moments now examining your own hearts. If you still do not have the assurance that you belong to Christ, I would like you to contact me before the day is done. I'll take a Bible and show you how you can have this assurance. Heads bowed now.